Running back thoughts today as we look at Dave's tiers for 2015. It's Wednesday, February 25th. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, live in our South Florida studios.
Yeah.
What's up?
Last time for a while, huh?
Yeah, for like a month or so. Month and a half.
You coming back every month?
Maybe every other month. Yeah, no, month and a half. Let's say that. I've been here for a week, so, you know, ready to get back to the cold. We are going to talk about the running back tiers. We're going to talk about the combine. And Jamie asked people about their favorite desserts. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. I will say that the answers, in my opinion, were extremely disappointing.
There are a lot of similarities.
What do you mean?
Just the desserts that they gave us.
A lot of German chocolate cake. A lot of rice pudding.
No, not a lot of that. A lot of Oreos stuff.
A lot of Oreos.
Like cheesecake. Just, I was really disappointed with the dessert selections of our audience. I'm just going to throw that out there. I hope I'm not offending anyone.
Well, you pissed off one guy. He said he doesn't want to be back. That was one of the answers was, I can't listen anymore.
What spurred this on? What made you
just being silly.
Oh, all right.
It's the off season, but we do have a lot of football to talk about.
I said we're podcasting
today.
Tell Adam your favorite desserts.
Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. That's a letter I. And put football podcast in the subject line. We'll read some emails to talk to Marco Murray. What will he do in 2015? Where will he be? CJ Anderson, is he a first-round, second-round pick? Adrian Peterson, Latavius Murray, blah, blah, blah. Here's your stat of the day. Fantasy points per touch in standard scoring leagues. I looked at the... What's going on here?
Absolutely nothing.
You have something on your lip.
On my lip, or
you've got
here?
A Cindy Crawford bowl.
Yeah, that.
No, it's I cut myself shaving.
That's trying to tell you that he cut himself shaving.
All right,
yeah.
But at first,
really badly.
Yeah, it.
I probably just need to wash it.
I'm standing. I'm sitting a good 5 feet from you. It looks like you've got like a brand new mole right
it's
above your lip.
More than five
yeah, you did. You did. Mouth is that new?
Is
yeah. I don't think he's getting mole implants.
I don't know what he's doing.
Per touch.
Fancy New York City boy.
In standard scoring leagues among the top seven running backs last year. Are you ready?
I already read it, so yes.
DeMarco Murray, 0.65 fantasy points per touch. Le'Veon Bell, 0.77. Take that, DeMarco Murray. Marshawn Lynch, 0.83.
Take that, Le'Veon Bell.
And DeMarco Murray. Matt Forte, 0.66, basically the same as Murray. Arian Foster, 0.79. Second best so far. Eddie Lacy, 0.80.
So Lynch is the best.
Jamal Charles, 0.85 fantasy points per touch. 0.85 fantasy points per touch compared to DeMarco Murray, 0.65 fantasy points per touch. And yet Murray was number one, and Jamal Charles was number seven. Andy Reid, you have failed miserably. Jamal Charles just did not get the ball nearly enough last year. He was amazing when he had it.
Well, remember, he was hurt to start the season.
Yeah, but when he was healthy or healthy enough to play at the end of the year, he's getting 10, 12 carries.
Yeah, but that seven may have been four if he played those two games.
But seven may have been four.
He said he finished seventh. He would have been
fourth.
Would have been fourth.
I thought, how many games did he miss? One or two?
Well, he basically missed two.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He was good enough to be the number one fantasy running back. But he didn't get the ball enough. And even Andy Reid was like, I didn't give him the ball enough.
You just said that Murray was one and Charles was seven.
Okay, fine. So Murray was one and Charles was four. Jamal Charles should have been, could have been the number one running back
but what
in
if,
fantasy.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. What if he had those more touches than his fantasy points per touch was lower?
Oh, he had far too few touches.
Okay.
So his season was.
Disagree?
No. He should have touched the ball more. But I think, you know, part of that is, and you know, some people benefit from it. Some people benefit from it greatly, was the times when Niall Davis was going well and you were forced to start Niall Davis when Charles was healthy, there were a couple of games where Davis was still very good.
Charles' season was bookended by bad games. His first three games, well, including one that he missed, and then he had one great game in week four, then a couple of bad games or a bad week after. Last three games of the season were bad for him. Everything in between, the meat of the year, Jamal Charles was Jamal Charles. So that's when he got the most work. I didn't like that Andy Reid was talking up Niall Davis at the combine. So we could see Niall Davis start to pick away at Jamal Charles' reps moving forward.
Well, I brought it up because Davis, Jamal Charles, number two overall at running back.
Yeah. I want to see what happens with Randall Cobb in Green Bay. And if he's gone, assuming the Packers don't replace him. Yeah, I don't think he is either. But just if he is, then I think Eddie Lacy could overtake him. I'm starting to feel it with Lacy. Big risk, but he's missed one game each of the last two seasons.
Once Bell's suspension is official, I'm going to move Lacy to one. Lacy's my number two guy.
And where's Charles for you?
Charles is three.
I see. All right, well, I thought that was interesting. Let's run through some news and notes. I'm sure I forgot some stuff, so please pipe in as you see fit. Bleacher reported that Adrian Peterson told the Vikings that he wants to play for Dallas. But the St. Paul Pioneer Press reported that Peterson has not asked for a trade. So we have conflicting reports about Adrian Peterson.
Plus, you've got this Jason LaConfora report that Peterson's agent got into big tiff with some Vikings brass. There's two reasons why he won't be back. One, he doesn't like the team. Two, he's got a $13 million cap number this year.
But they're going to pay it, which is why he will be back. Because he's not getting that money anywhere else.
No, he won't get $13 million from anywhere else.
But Minnesota has plenty of cap space.
Why should they waste it? Why?
Well, I mean, if they feel
they should let him go and then try and get him back for less than 13.
Well, if they let him go, he's not coming back.
I think that he might have done some irreparable damage in the last couple of weeks, and maybe they just
if he's trying to force his way out. First of all, if his agent is telling him you're going to get more money somewhere else, his agent's a dummy because he's not going to get that money anywhere else. Nobody's paying him $13 million.
Do you think he can even get 10?
That's a stretch, but it's possible.
It's like 9, right? Like, I'm thinking maybe that's what...
Even that. I mean, if Dallas is not going to pay DeMarco Murray, why would you pay a guy who's 30 that missed a year? Does not make any sense.
Because Jerry Jones is nuts.
If Seattle is going to replace Marshawn Lynch with Adrian Peterson, maybe that makes sense because they feel they're still in win-now mode, clearly, because they've been to back-to-back Super Bowls. I just don't see him getting that money anywhere else, which is why I don't think he's going to try and force his way out. He is not going to try and force his way out. If his agent is trying to tell him, we can get this from X, Y, or Z, then he should fire his agent because he's not getting $13 million somewhere else.
But you say that, but I don't know that he cares about the money at this point because Peterson keeps saying things that, you know, he was hurt by the way they treated him. And
right, that doesn't sound like a guy who wants to go back to Minnesota. I totally
agree. If money is not an issue for him, then he's going to force his way out of there, which is probably what he's trying to do. But if money is an issue for him...
No, he's not going to get $13 million.
I don't know if money's an issue for him. He got paid a lot of money to not play last year.
Right, money shouldn't be an issue for him. But yeah, I mean,
you
it's always
haven't met many NFL players.
Right. That's the other thing.
He's really disgusting me, to be quite honest. It's like he feels like the Vikings were not loyal to him, and I just wonder when I read his comments, does he remember what he did? You know, it's like he's taking no responsibility for a really gruesome, horrible thing that he did and doesn't seem to have any remorse about it either. Now he feels like he was wronged last year. He got paid to play one game.
I agree.
Lucky he didn't end up in jail. And now he's saying things like this, and it just rubs me the wrong way.
He shouldn't be trying to tick them off. There are other ways to go about this. But to Jamie's point, if he wants $13 million, he's not going to get it anywhere else. It comes down to whether, unless the Vikings have come to him, and we don't know this, and said, hey, we do want you back, but this $13 million is not enough.
No, but I mean,
that's got to come down. And then Adrian Peterson
they've
starts
addressed
bad-mouthing
that publicly,
the Vikings.
Though. I mean, you know, they addressed it at the combine. Spielman and Zimmer
they
were
said
asked
they want
about,
back.
About yeah. you know, coming back, but
right,
coming back
but
with
they,
that money.
Right,
and Spielman said, we have the money to pay him.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was really committal about it.
Okay, so we talked last week when we did the mock draft review, and Jamie, you said he's more of a second-round pick. But what if he goes to Dallas? If Peterson's running behind that offensive line.
Still a second-round pick. I just the concerns for me are 30-year-old guy that missed a season of football. And the reports when he was potentially going to be reinstated last year were that he was out of shape. Now, I expect him to be in shape. I expect him to be fine. I just don't want to commit a first-round pick to him. I'll take the hit of it. And again, I'll say the same thing I said about Marshawn Lynch last year. I'll take the hit if he blows up and plays to the level that he's capable of playing. I just don't feel comfortable with him in the first round.
I might move him into the back end of the first round.
On Dallas.
If he's in Dallas, if the offensive line is the same or even better, and if there isn't a clear threat to take him off the field in certain situations. Now we're talking about a guy with 20 touch potential, goal line work, in a much better offense than what he'll be in Minnesota. Might he break down? Sure. But a late first round risk is worth it for a guy who could really deliver.
Cleveland has new helmets. They are brighter, and they are orangier. So there's
They're
that.
Browner also.
Well,
on
the face masks are brown, yeah. So, yeah, it's big. Seattle apparently closing in on signing Marshawn Lynch.
There's so many different reports.
Are you going crazy, Jamie, over the amount of money that they're talking about paying him?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but yeah. I understand why they're doing it, because that's the only way he's probably going to play is if they do give him a raise. Now, again, the landscape for running backs that are proven on the same team, I like that better than guys that switch teams for money. And last year was a complete disaster for every free agent running back as far as I can recall off the top of my head.
Right.
Rashad Jennings was probably the best one of the
free agents.
Gerhardt sucked.
Yeah.
Maurice Jones-Drew was bad.
Chris Johnson was bad.
Probably. Wow, that's
so Jennings had a good stretch, at least to open the season.
And the rookie running backs were bad, too. Bad year for
running backs. Yeah, it'll all change this year.
Jeremy Hill was good,
but you had to wait a long time for that.
I think if Lynch stays in Seattle, he's fine, and you have to count on him as a top 10 overall pick.
All right, moving on. Arizona wants Andre Ellington to bulk up.
They wanted him to bulk up last year. I remember talking to him about it and asking him, can you put on more weight? And he said, I'm trying. it's not easy. I'm a little nervous about him breaking down over the course of a season.
Earl Thomas said shoulder surgery may not be ready for the start of the season. Thinking of downgrading the Seattle defense? Are they number one, first of all?
They're not number one for me. I think they're three for me.
Who's number one for you?
Texans.
Really?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins had wrist surgery after the season.
Yeah, you know what? I actually missed the report when it came out. I found out about this when there's like a sports memorabilia company in Houston that had Hopkins signing autographs, and they tweeted a picture of him signing autographs, and he had a cast on his wrist. And I thought, well, that's strange. Did he break his wrist? And then I went and like some ligament damage or something like that. He'll be fine.
All right. And Jason Lockenfora says he keeps hearing C.J. Spiller will go to the Jets.
That's just Doc connecting right
It makes sense from need and relationship with Chan Gailey. The one thing is that Buffalo, I think, is still going to be interested in bringing him back.
Do you want to see him go to the Jets or Buffalo?
I wouldn't mind the change of scenery for him, you know, going to a team that's still going to be run heavy for a coach that, you know, at least offensive coordinator that knows him. His best year was under Gailey.
I've done the research on new offensive coordinators and what Chan Gailey can do for running backs. And consistently, running backs catch passes in his offense. He doesn't give them a lot of carries by comparison to a lot of... Like, he might get more carries with Greg Roman in Buffalo. But I think that Chan Gailey is better for him. So, yes, I'd love to see him with the Jets. Hopefully he can stay healthy.
I know you like the Jaguars offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah. I love Greg Olson. Not really. He ran the 32nd ranked offense in the league last year in Oakland. And the Jaguars ranked 31st. So the Jaguars punted their offensive coordinator after ranking 31st for the guy that finished 32nd. Olson has one career 1,000-yard rusher. You know who it is? He's been a coordinator in he's called plays in St. Louis. He's called plays. I think he called. No, maybe he didn't call plays in St. Louis, but he's been in Tampa, Oakland. Now he's in Jacksonville. There's one other team. I'm forgetting what it was.
I'll guess Steven Jackson. Tampa.
No, not Steven Jackson. It was LeGarrette Blount with 1,006 yards.
You told me that yesterday.
It is the only running back that has ever had over 1,000 yards with Greg Olson calling plays. How many receivers have caught for 1,000 yards under Greg Olson?
One.
None. He hasn't had a 1,000 yards. Now, to be fair, McFadden had one of his best years under Olson. He had like 1,300 total yards, just didn't have 1,000 rushing yards. But he stinks. I don't know how he keeps getting jobs where he gets to call plays. And now he's got this nice opportunity in Jacksonville. But it makes me a little less excited about all those sleepers there.
Let's take 2 minutes to talk about some of the favorite desserts of our listeners from Twitter. Nick Bowman says cheesecake. I don't like cheesecake. I'm just going to throw that out there right
None?
Now.
None? No. Not one. No flavors, nothing.
Have you ever been to this factory that makes cheesecakes?
If I had like an Oreo cheesecake, I would be okay with it because I like Oreos. Mm-hmm. But I don't there's so many different types of cakes I'd rather have than the cheesecake. I just don't like cheesecake.
Nah, I'd put cheesecake ahead of any other cake other than ice cream cake.
Interesting.
Brandon Smith, Oreos and milk. I can get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Williams, Publix Premium Barney's Coffee Ice Cream. Coffee ice cream is disgusting.
My wife loves it.
Huh?
She can't get enough coffee ice cream.
How do you guys feel about coffee ice cream?
I can live without it.
Not a big fan.
Big Mike says rice pudding, which is like a fine dessert, but seriously, that's your favorite dessert? Like, you're on death row, and you're having your last meal. You're going to ask for rice pudding? Come on.
If it's his favorite.
I don't believe it is. I think Mike is lying. Patrick McGrade, pecan pie. Just bad choice. I don't know. Do you guys have any opinions on these?
Pecan pie is good. These are all very fine desserts.
Yeah, they're all just kind of
plain. But you've got to, they're not even close.
The Cult of Nando, Oreo crust white chocolate cheesecake.
Right, these are like weekday desserts. Like you're done with your dinner at home, you made your dinner at home, and now you want to have a little sweet.
Well, not this one.
Yeah, this is the first one that's come along.
But white chocolate?
Oreo crust white chocolate cheesecake. Like you've got to go somewhere for that. And I think that's what constitutes a great dessert. You can't possibly make it yourself.
James Mangus, black tie mousse cake from Olive Garden. That sounds good.
No, it doesn't.
Why? Because it's from the Olive Garden?
No, I'm not a big mousse fan to begin with. Black tie mousse cake?
This next one's really good from Finding Demo. Oreo cookie ice cream cake.
There we go.
That's so far. I'm going to put a little star next to that. It's the winner so far. Jose says Portillo's chocolate cake.
Portillo's. Oh, it's Portillo's? In Chicago. And I've had it. And they also make a chocolate cake shake. That is good.
Ooh, that does sound good.
That might be the best thing Portillo's makes. Chicagoans will hate me for saying that, but they're overrated otherwise.
Jeremy Richard says German chocolate cake. Dusty says key lime pie. Mm-hmm. That would be my least favorite on this list so far. Go Big Red, cheesecake, cherries or strawberries on top. Truck, Oreo Blizzard with cherry dip. Now, I like that. That's good. Yeah. Blizzards are great.
Blizzards are good.
How about a la carte with the classic creme brulee? Mm-hmm. You guys like creme brulee?
It's not bad.
It's okay.
What do you prefer, tiramisu or creme brulee?
Probably creme brulee.
Yeah, me too.
A couple more here. Joe May's fudge brownie sundae with vanilla.
See, now that's good stuff. That might be my favorite, overall. Like, I can find that at a bunch of different restaurants.
Yeah.
It's not my ultimate, but it's pretty close.
And Tyler Wilhite says catnip. Very good. I'm going to give Finding Demo the win here for Oreo cookie ice cream cake. And since I've been criticizing all these picks, I guess I should probably say my preferred dessert.
Pralines and cream?
I would go to Jackson's, which is an ice cream place down here, and I would get a banana split with mint chocolate chip, cookies and cream, and vanilla ice cream.
The big one?
Not the kitchen sink.
Oh, not the kitchen sink.
No, the banana split is enormous, though.
Why do you get vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla ice cream is awesome, man.
Yeah, but it's vanilla.
Fine. Pick another flavor. Rocky Road. How's that?
There you go. Much better.
Yeah, I would go banana split.
That's nice.
Because then you get a little nice nutrition.
That's what your doctor said?
Why don't you go bubblegum? You get something to chew afterwards.
Anything from you guys?
My favorite dessert is at a restaurant in Boca Raton that I think we've all been to called Bruzy's. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those craft brewery places. And they've got a hot brownie wrapped in a cookie, like a cookie jacket. So it's not like, don't think of a cookie like, you know, the circle type of cookie. Think of a cookie in the shape of like a brownie, but there's brownie inside and it's hot. And then they put a scoop of vanilla on there, lots of hot fudge and chocolate sauce.
That's good stuff.
Holy hell, it's amazing. And you can't find
that anywhere else. And you're not really a dessert guy, right?
Not really a dessert guy.
How about you?
I don't really have a thing I don't like. I'm a dessert junkie.
Just coffee cake and tiramisu.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So many things.
Don't you know, like, when we go to the buffet, I usually have, like, two or three?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, how do you not know that about him?
It's the buffet.
When we get free bagels, he eats the cookies.
Really? Yeah, I have like a whole
stack. What'd you do today?
I have two half cookies, a brownie, and two half of those pastry things.
My goodness.
Yeah, but I spread
it out. He's got good metabolism.
All right. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Like the double chocolate. Chocolate. I also like cherry vanilla.
Well, that's a good call.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with fish food.
Combine thought for the
Ben and Jerry's. Not actually like flakes. That's not a good dessert, no.
Combine thoughts. What stood out to you guys?
I love this receiver class. I know that there's people that don't think it's as good as last year's class, and I'll agree. I think last year's class was better. But I think this is a deep class of wide receivers, and I am really hoping that we get a similar impact with these rookies that we got to last year. Not to the point where we've got like, you know, three guys finishing in the top 12 or three guys that'll be drafted as second-year receivers as number one wideouts or anything like that. But they're going to make that position even deeper than it is right now. I like a lot of the wide receivers. I think there's going to be a lot of good contributors. And the whole point of the combine is to kind of bring attention to players who you saw them in college, but you didn't know they could do this, or you're disappointed that they did that. And then you go back and you kind of do a double check on them. So I love the wide receivers. I think they're going to be a good group. The running backs were disappointing overall at the combine.
Why, just because they ran slow?
Yeah, they didn't run that fast, but I still think Gordon, Gurley, I think those guys are going to be great. I think they're going to get good opportunities. Gurley, once he gets healthy, will get that opportunity. Duke Johnson is still somebody that I'm excited about.
I like Stephen Langford from Michigan State.
Yeah, I haven't watched him yet.
He was the fastest runner at the combine, which was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I haven't watched him yet. I thought it was Jeremy Langford.
Jeremy Langford.
Right.
Sorry.
I was going to say.
He was the fastest?
Yes.
Interesting.
Jameis Winston also.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he did a nice job kind of addressing all the issues with the media and then going out on the combine and doing everything. I mean, he's slow, but who really cares?
Yeah, who cares? Rob Rang said that since the media has been allowed to watch the quarterbacks throw, he hadn't seen an exhibition like what Winston and Mariota did.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, look, if Winston goes to Tampa Bay, he walks into it.
There's no if.
Yeah, there can't
be. When Winston goes to Tampa Bay, he walks into a, you know, a good situation.
Sure, he's got Mike Evans to throw to.
He'll be one of those guys. I don't think he'll be RG3 or Luck. You know, I don't think we're going to get that type of impact. But I don't think you can get away with drafting him as your second guy. And if he has a couple good weeks, if your guy is struggling, you know, if you take Russell Wilson or Roethlisberger or Cutler or Tannehill,
he'll be a late pick.
Easy replacement, you know, for those guys if they stink.
He'll be a late pick in every single league that's based on the Gulf Coast. Because there's going to be a lot of Florida State fans that are going to want Jameis Winston on their fantasy teams. I don't think I'm drafting him.
I think he could be a star. I mean, I think he could be a bust because, you know, his attitude and well-documented stuff. But watching him play quarterback, there's really not much not to like. He did throw a lot of interceptions last year, which was interesting when he lost Kelvin Benjamin, you know, how much worse he got. But he's a tremendous player, and he's a winner. So I kind of believe in him as a talent.
I just hope that attitude.
I really don't like him.
I hope that attitude changes. I hope he isn't a diva in the NFL, which probably isn't going to happen. He's probably going to be one.
I wish I had seen more of Kevin White in college. I mean, I really have no idea what he's all about.
He's impressive.
He's tremendous at the combine. I've watched enough to say that I like him, but I don't love him. There isn't a receiver yet that I've watched that I'm like in love with yet. Like I've watched a lot of Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
I think Cooper and White to me are right now like neck and neck, and everybody else is kind of behind them.
This Green Beckham kid though.
Yeah, like I haven't watched enough of Green Beckham. I haven't watched enough of Chris Conley.
Green Beckham was the number one recruit in the country when he signed with Missouri.
I got a feeling
upset when he signed with Missouri.
I have a feeling that if he can just stay out of trouble, he'll be great. But Cooper, to me, definitely has potential. I don't know if he's the next Julio Jones. Maybe he'll be as good as Julio Jones. And maybe White will be as good as... they were comparing him to Larry Fitzgerald. I think that's way off.
Is anything...
It doesn't feel like Kevin White's 6'3" when you watch
him. I don't really care too much about what the rookies did. I'm more concerned with what all the coaches and GM said.
And what stood out to
you? There's nothing really that's like a big takeaway yet. You know, it's just a matter of there was a lot of interesting things, you know, minor stuff. I did a whole breakdown on it. You could read it.
Yeah, I don't know if anything changed because of the combine, but I just, as I mentioned last week when we did the mock draft review, the rookie wide receivers, as you said, Dave, are going to make that position better and deeper and change the way you draft, possibly. I mean, they're going to be more late round, mid to late round sleepers.
But also keep in mind, there's two things. One, I want to see what happens with the free agent receivers because this is what's been happening with the running backs a little bit slower, but the receivers I think will accelerate it, is that those guys had such a big impact last year. Will the guys that either get cut or are free agents, will they get paid as much? And how disinterested will they be as they go from team to team trying to get contracts? Because teams that are receiver needy can say, well, I could just get two guys in the draft.
Right. I almost think that a team like the Ravens is counting on that happening.
With how they're talking about Torrey
Smith. With Torrey Smith, they really want him back, but they don't think they can afford him.
And the Bears, why they may get rid of Brandon Marshall, you know, because they can get
somebody
a cheaper alternative. And then where does Marshall get paid somewhere?
Not in Baltimore.
Probably not.
Likely. Might.
Well, they're taking an anti-domestic violence stance. So
sure.
You don't think he's proven himself?
I don't know. I feel like
it'd be a bad
if you go out there publicly and say what they said, which I applaud them for, it'd be kind of weird to take a guy who has it in his past.
I'll give you one more combine thought. What do you guys think about the Bears head coach and GM not saying anything positive about Cutler.
Well, we talked about this last week.
I think we talked
about it. Did we talk about it?
Yeah,
all right.
I think it's more they're trying to drum up trade interest because signing Logan's, I keep pronouncing the name,
Dowell Logan's.
Who's a Cutler guy.
Right. And Gase apparently has a relationship with Cutler.
Yeah, I don't see them cutting him because of the cap hit and what, right. You know, I always go back to what Amy Trask told us. I don't know if you were, you don't think you did it. You didn't do the show that week, that day. You never did anything with Amy, right? Or did
yeah,
you?
I did.
Oh, she always would say, what if?
Right. And then what?
You know, or then.
All right. So you're going to cut Cutler.
Right.
Then what are you going to do?
You're going to pay Jimmy Clausen. You're going to bring back Josh McCown. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
There's nobody out there and they can't, even drafting Mariota, like trading up to get Mariota. That
you're investing too much.
Yeah, it's too much of an investment.
I think, you know, for all of Cutler's headaches, if he has a quarterback coach and an offensive system and a coordinator, look, John Fox is going to run the ball. Forget about what you saw in Denver. They're going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to reel Cutler in. And if you take Marshall away, that's one less guy he's going to try and, you know, force the ball into. So I think Cutler, his fantasy numbers may not be as good, but his NFL production probably be better.
Cutler didn't finish that strong in fantasy, but he was pretty darn good for the first half of the season or so.
Yeah, just when the bottom fell out with Trestman there.
Yeah, but one thought I had was, look at how bad Josh McCown was every single year other than 2013 with Mark Trestman. So without Mark Trestman, what's Jay Cutler going to be like? Now, he's obviously better than McCown, and
he had a good year in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, his last year in Denver was very good. I think you got to look at it and say, as long as he has the weapons, if he has Jeffrey, if he has Bennett, and then
he has a chance.
Clearly Marshall, yeah, you know, because those guys will make plays for him.
And what about the defense?
Over 100 passes.
Right.
Like, part of the problem with Cutler is that his defense sucked. Well, so he had to press the issue.
This is your argument with Prisco all the time of Russell Wilson versus Jay Cutler. When you have a good defense, you don't have to take as many chances. When you have a bad defense, you got to take more chances.
It's like the guy has never had interception issues in his past.
But it is.
I get, like, yeah, he'll probably cut down on his interceptions if they had a better defense. But he'd still turn the ball over a lot. And Russell Wilson is a lot better than Jay Cutler. It's not, like, I can't even believe I've had that argument with Pete Prisco. It's ridiculous. Running backs, ready?
Sure.
Running back tiers. Okay, some stats really quickly. The number one running back in standard scoring leagues has scored exactly 293 fantasy points three straight seasons. Peterson, Charles, DeMarco Murray. Weird. Okay, I heard a W come out of your mouth, I think.
Well, I was just going to say that the tiers were written several weeks ago.
Gotcha.
I'll stick to them for right now because, you know, want to make sure everybody's on the same page. But, like, we already kicked off the podcast talking about how we're both looking at Eddie Lacy as somebody that we might move up in our rankings. So things change. Things have happened.
So number one, 293 fantasy points, three straight seasons in standard scoring. Number 12 has been between 160 and 170 fantasy points, four straight seasons. So it's a pretty big drop from number one to number 12. No number one running backs and back to no running back has been number one back-to-back seasons since Tomlinson in 2006 and 2007.
I think you're going to be safe this year, too.
And as Dave pointed out in his column, we had in 2014 the fewest amount of running back carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns since 2001 when the NFL had 31 teams. That is interesting.
Meanwhile, receivers, yards, and catches and touchdowns, I believe, are all up most since, most ever.
So Dave tiered the running backs by round, with round one being the first tier, and then round one or two being the second tier. So here's the round one running backs. Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, DeMarco Murray, Matt Forte. Hard to argue with that. Jamie, any thoughts?
Murray would be the one that, you know, it's going to, and right now I have him ranked probably too high, but he's going to be hard to trust next year.
Okay.
Think about the situation. What would it take for you to feel good about drafting DeMarco Murray?
Staying in Dallas and not bringing in anybody else.
Right.
That's it.
And what about getting paid a huge contract? You're not worried because he's staying on the same
deal
team?
One-year deal or contract is really irrelevant to me. If he goes anywhere else, he's a turd. And fantasy-wise. Because, I mean, you've illustrated it last two weeks. You know, it's tried and true. He's contract year, arguably the greatest offensive line last year in the NFL. And he stayed healthy. He played through the injury.
497 touches.
It's insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
Had 102 more carries than any other running back in the regular season. and with the postseason, 497 touches. Let me ask you about Forte.
Now, just to
let's go back to Murray.
Sorry, just play devil's advocate. And when I did this whole thing on Lynch last year with the 400 touches, the one guy who, or one of the guys who was able to dispel that, and it had to do with playing behind a great offensive line, was Emmitt Smith. And so that was a guy that had a ton of work, back-to-back years. Clearly he was more durable throughout his career than Murray was prior to last season. But when you have a good offensive line, and Marshawn Lynch was a proof of this last year also, you're able to overcome some of these things, you know, because you don't need as much work to still get great production.
Totally.
Murray is definitely ranked as if he's a Cowboy next year.
Matt Forte averaged 3.9 yards per carry. And he's entering his eighth season. He's getting up there.
Yeah, he is.
Does that concern you? He was the number four running back last year.
I think this could be the last good year for Forte. If Trestman was still in Chicago for whatever reason, if he had still made it, then I'd probably be even higher on Forte because Trestman just makes running backs great for fantasy. That's what they'll put on his tombstone. But now that John Fox is there, I could see Chicago still. Well, first of all, what I'm really worried about is Chicago adding another running back. You know, D'Angelo Williams is a free agent now. He's going to get cut by Carolina. Once upon a time, John Fox liked him a lot. What if there's a reunion in Chicago and D'Angelo's there to take 8 to 10 carries off of Forte's plate every week? Well, that makes Forte a lot less attractive. So he's a guy who could slide, but the reputation is there. He's a hardworking guy. He can catch passes. I don't think he'll catch as many under Fox as he did under Trestman.
Marshall leaves.
Huh?
He might be still in the same range if Marshall leaves.
We'll see what they do. But Forte, for me, is still a guy who is a candidate for 20 touches a week plus goal line work, and until that changes, he's going to be in my top tier.
Next tier is rounds one and or two. LeSean McCoy, who was tied for 12th last season, averaged 4.2 yards per carry for the second time in three seasons, but McCoy averaged 5.1 yards per carry in 2013.
Pat Kerwin had a little fun with LeSean McCoy in his latest mock draft. Did you catch that?
No.
He made a mock trade in his mock draft where Philly traded their first-round pick this year, their first-round pick next year, and Shady to the Raiders for number four overall this year so that the Eagles could draft Mariota. And Philly fans went crazy over that, I believe.
In a good way?
No, we would never trade Shady. That's a terrible deal. Why would we get rid of Shady to get Marcus Mariota? And I'm thinking, you know, that would actually be a pretty good trade for both teams. That would be. I think that would be a good trade for Philadelphia. He's due to make a lot of money this year, and Philly might not be pleased with that, especially after the year he just had. Now you might want to blame offensive line for part of the reason why LeSean McCoy had a bad season, because that's an offensive line that kind of went the opposite way of Dallas's, or you can blame the quarterbacks in Philadelphia not holding up their end of the bargain, and that forced defenses. It didn't force defenses; it made defenses want to stop LeSean McCoy first. So there's a lot of reasons why McCoy might not have had a big year. He didn't blame it on injury as far as we know. He didn't miss any games, if I recall correctly.
No.
So he could be a candidate to get moved out of Philadelphia. But we're ranking him as if he stays, he's still going to be the bell cow. Chip Kelly runs an offense that caters to running backs. That's why he is where he is.
Well, two things would concern me about McCoy. Only 28 catches last year and 155 receiving yards. By far, career lows. And in 2013, Philadelphia running backs scored 14 rushing touchdowns. McCoy had 9 of them. So 2013, 14 rushing touchdowns. McCoy had 9. 2014, Philadelphia running backs scored 15 rushing touchdowns, and McCoy had only 5 of them. So there were these games at the end of the year where, like, they were getting down to the 1-2 yard line. He wasn't even getting the carries.
Right.
He was like, what the heck is going on?
The Sproles stole goal line carries from
weird.
Him. And Sproles stole a bunch of catches from him, too. Yeah, it was a frustrating year all the way around. It's part of the reason why I didn't like him as a top two running back in fantasy last year.
Let me read the rest of the tier here. McCoy, Arian Foster, C.J. Anderson, Marshawn Lynch, and Jeremy Hill. Any thoughts? Anybody that scares you in this group?
Well, a lot of people are going to be scared about Foster and Lynch, you know, just because they're getting up in age, they're getting up in workload. I mean, clearly for Lynch, you know, the last 3 years has been a lot of work. Foster, Bill O'Brien said that they want to try and manage his workload a little bit better after he was, you know, missed 3 games and dealt with hamstring and ankle problems last year. So we'll see what happens there. But clearly the production has been tried and true through two different systems now when he's been able to give you at least 13 games. So I think if you say, okay, I'll get 13 games of Arian Foster and I'll make sure I lock up Alfred Blue, you'll be okay with that. And then Lynch, we'll see what happens. You know, there's just a little too much of a waiting game right now.
But if he stays in Seattle, I think you can almost say the same thing with Lynch as you did with Foster,
sure.
Which is
yeah,
you're going to feel comfortable taking Lynch in the first round. You'll just give credit where it's due. The guy's a stud, and, you know, hashtag beast mode, Skittles in the air, and then you'll draft his handcuff later on. And I almost think you can get his handcuff later than you can get Alfred Blue.
Well, the problem is that who's the handcuff? Because
I think it's Turbin. I hate to say it because we all love Michael. But
we haven't seen Lynch not be there and how it would play out. Does Turbin's role change? Or they just keep Turbin in that role and then they bring in somebody?
If Michael was so great, they would have found ways to get him involved more often.
I think Turbin is a little bit of the safer bet from a that's who they seem to trust, but we haven't seen a non-Lynch game plan yet be put to work.
Could CJ Anderson be the best running back in this group? Because now he's
could be
main guy in Denver. You got to assume that Kubiak, as long as CJ Anderson doesn't go into a fumble skid that Kubiak gets schizo on and sends him to the bench. I mean, the sky's the limit. Peyton looks like he's coming back. You know, rehash the argument that we had for Monte Ball last year for why Monte Ball was worth a first-round pick, because running backs who play with Peyton tended to play very well.
I brought it up last week. CJ Anderson, last eight games when he started getting the feature role, 19.5 fantasy points per game in standard leagues. That would have been 316 fantasy points for 16 games, which would have blown away DeMarco Murray's 293 fantasy points. Would have been the best year since Chris Johnson in 2009.
Yeah.
So Anderson was great. We talk a lot about those elite guys, so I want to go a little deeper. I want to give a stat about Jeremy Hill. Hill had 15 carries or more 7 times.
He scored double digits every time.
Mm-hmm. So a lot to like about Hill, who averaged 5.1 yards
per
carry.
And in the last 6 games, Giovanni Bernard had double digits and carries 3 times. But Hill still averaged 18 carries over those 6 games also.
So he's a guy who might not get quite up to 20 touches per game, but
last 3 games he had over 20 carries.
Do you think Cincinnati is still in a position where they can run ball control offense and stay competitive in a game that gives Jeremy Hill a chance to get to 20 touches a game?
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
I mean, that's Dalton Hugh Jackson. Stinks.
But that's Hugh Jackson, though. That's what they want to do. They
Dalton
want to be
stinks,
ball
so run him more.
Yeah, I don't see why they go
away.
Yeah,
but teams could step up to that.
So what?
Dalton doesn't stink to the point where he still can make plays, and we've seen that from him.
I'm making an argument.
In a non-primetime game.
Yeah, he's
in
fine non-primetime on Sunday games. Afternoon.
Is there a correlation between Dalton and Hill that we could look for? Like if there's a game coming up where it's a primetime game. Yeah, I think everybody...
Yes, Jeremy Hill, like what he did to the Broncos.
Right.
What was that, a Monday nighter?
Everybody who drafts Jeremy Hill is going to do so with a top 15 pick anyway. They're going to start him every week. It doesn't matter. Maybe the correlation would have to fall on Geo.
Round three. Nick, next tier. Andre Ellington, Adrian Peterson, and Lamar Miller. I was just so confused by Lamar Miller. He averaged 5.1 yards per carry. He's been really good in that category, 5.1 this year, 4.9 as a rookie, 4.0 last year behind a terrible offensive line, or 2013 behind a terrible offensive line. But, you know, I don't know that they're ever going to make him a workhorse.
They did at the end of the year.
And he rewarded them.
He did. And but, I think that could go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, he had 16, 19, and 19 carries in the final 3 games. I hope they turn him loose. He could be a steal in round 3 if they turn him loose.
This is also a team that's got a lot of needs. And when the draft comes around, I don't see them spending a third-round pick on a running back like they've done.
No, but they'll sign somebody.
Yeah,
they did last year.
They might sign like an undrafted free agent or a veteran.
No, I think they'll bring in a veteran. I mean, you look at, first of all, with Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Let's all say it. Tannenbaum.
Now overseeing everything. We'll see what Hickey does, the general manager. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in somebody splashy, whether it's D'Angelo, if you still consider that splashy.
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson is the one that I'm thinking of. But yeah. They could bring back Noshon.
Here's the reason why I'm not sure about Lamar Miller. He doesn't make a lot of great plays. I think he had like a 97-yard touchdown run late in the year.
Helped me win my league.
But 7 of his 8 touchdowns were from 9 yards or closer, and like 4 of them were from 2 yards.
There was a stat last year, I forget.
But I don't have a problem with that.
No, but if they bring in another guy who's going to take the goal line carries, he doesn't give you home run
plays.
Maybe
the guy they bring in is going to be a guy with home run potential. Maybe that's where...
It's just something to keep in mind.
There was also a stat prior to the last couple of games last year where his numbers got worse.
Terrible.
His yards per carry got worse as games wore on.
Right. So. That's why I don't know if he's a workhorse.
So his number is going to be like 14 carries a week with a couple catches.
And they need to get him the ball. They need to let him catch the ball more. He's a really talented player, but...
He had 2.9 yards per carry at New England on 16 carries. And then the last two games of the year at home, Minnesota and the Jets, 19 carries in each. Averaged 4.8 yards per carry against Minnesota. The Jets' number's out of whack because he had a 97-yard touchdown run. 9.4 yards per carry. But even if you take that away, it's 81 yards on 18 carries. It's okay.
It's fine.
It's okay. It's in the fours.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, round 4, Joique Bell.
Almost in the fives.
Alfred Morris, Carlos Hyde. Joique Bell, Alfred Morris, Carlos Hyde.
Alf, small tier.
Alf in round 4 now. He's just getting worse.
He is getting worse. His numbers are
He won't be around round 4.
Declining. Still. You think he'll go sooner
than
that?
Yeah, running backs are still going to get a lot of work. Neither will Joique Bell. These are guys will both be in round 3.
Well, they're not going to be on my teams, I guess.
See, I know Joique Bell, he only averaged 3.9 yards per carry, but I just have like a bias against Alfred Morris. And I think everybody knows why. That's, listen, I don't like running backs who don't catch the ball. Right. He had 17 catches last year. It was like obliterated his previous career high. And so if he doesn't score a touchdown,
that's the big thing.
I got 7-8 points out of him. And I don't want to start that.
It's kind of like an old school running back in that regard.
Yeah.
Where you got to, if you start Alfred Morris, you either do it because he's your number 2 running back and that's how you drafted him, or you've got some flexibility and you think he's going to score that week. Maybe he's playing against a defense that just allows a ton of rushing touchdowns, and that's why you go and you start him.
I guess it was a little gutsy to put Carlos Hyde in here. So discuss.
We're projecting that Frank Gore either leaves San Francisco or comes back and understands that he's in a smaller role, but I think Carlos Hyde's the future there.
Rounds 5 and 6.
We'll see what happens. That guy could certainly move.
Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray, Mark Ingram, Andre Williams, Trey Mason, and Doug Martin. We'll start to get to the second-year guys now.
Mason's going to move up from this. Not from this tier, but up higher within this tier.
All right, let me read it again. Jonathan
Mason
Stewart,
and Stewart won't get out of round 4.
Let me read it again. Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray, Mark Ingram, Andre Williams, Trey Mason, and Doug Martin.
And Stewart
Where did
was
I
already...
Stewart last week?
Stewart, I think he was a round 4 pick for you, too.
Four, okay.
Like, I think he's definitely going to be within the top 50 in every draft, maybe closer to 55 in a league with 3 wide receivers starting. But, yeah, you're going to look at Jonathan Stewart in your drafts, at least at this point. You're going to say, well, shoot, there's no one left at running back that I really feel comfortable with. This is a guy who finished the year strong. I might as well take him, and it could be round 4 when you have that thought, especially when those backs are just going to dry out. There's not going to be a lot left. Injury concerns with him, workload concerns on top of it. I guess those two are tied together. Offensive line concerns. Carolina's got to do a lot of work there.
Yeah, but it's not going to be worse than it was last year.
It could be. Like, they're already letting go of their left tackle. You got to see what they get.
His left tackle is terrible.
Yeah, but they could replace him with another Ham and Egger, and then you just don't know what you're going to get.
He averaged 5.3 yards per carry in his last 7 games, including the postseason, but only scored 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing and 1 receiving in that stretch. You know, Latavius Murray, I want to be really excited about him, but after that Chiefs game where he had 4 carries, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns, Latavius Murray really didn't do anything. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry in his last 4 games. And
he had the work, though. That's the thing.
He did get the work, but he didn't do anything with it. 23 carries, 76 yards against the Niners. 23 carries, 86 yards against Buffalo. Not exactly easy matchups, but I was hoping for more from him because I really like what we saw. He looks like he's a talented guy. Where are you guys on Murray?
This is a good range for him. I think he may creep into the 4th round just because of the lack of running back depth. But if they don't bring in anybody and they keep him reaching over Drew around, and that's their top 2 guys, then I think you got to be excited
about
that.
That's not going to happen.
Well, who do you like better?
Unless he's going to coach. That's the only way Maurice Jones.
Well, I mean, Del Rio likes him.
Stewart or Murray?
I like a lot of people, Stewart, too. It doesn't mean they're going to be good running backs.
All right, Murray or Ingram?
For me, it's Murray. But it's based on potential. Yeah, it's also based on if Ingram stays with New Orleans, I'll still take Murray.
Ingram's a guy that just was mentioned as a Murray replacement too.
A DeMarco Murray replacement, mm-hmm. not a Latavius Murray replacement.
Why are you moving Trey Mason up?
I like the trends that I've seen with the new offensive coordinator in St. Louis. He's a Jeff Fisher-minded type guy. He likes to run the ball, leans on his running backs. He's only coordinated in college. This is Frank Cignetti Jr. is the new offensive coordinator in St. Louis. But he leans heavy on his running back. So if St. Louis doesn't add a back, and my hope is that they don't because they still seem to like Zach Stacy, and Benny Cunningham is a good passing downs back for them, the door is going to be open for Trey Mason to work hard and an improvement to the offensive line. The quarterback situation will get better. I think Trey Mason could be better.
I was a little harsh with Andre Williams last week. He only averaged 3.3 yards per carry. And his two best games was, at Tennessee, 131 yards and a touchdown, but they had the worst run defense ever. And at St. Louis, he had a big game, 26 carries, 110 yards. The only thing that gives me hope is, you saw some flashes starting with the Hall of Fame game, right? People were pretty high on him.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell averaged, 3.6 yards per carry or something in his rookie season. Circumstances changed a little bit, and he obviously had a huge second season. So maybe Williams could improve.
Is he too much like Alfred Morris?
I don't think so. I think he does need to get better catching the ball and probably
in pass
protection.
They probably won't let him, though.
Right. If Jennings sticks around, well, even if Jennings gets hurt, there's going to be somebody else there that they could put in and take Andre Williams off the field in passing situations.
It's possible.
He's not a three down back. It's going to keep him out of the first five rounds. That bubble, he's not going to be able to get into.
He's got a nose for the end zone, though.
Yeah.
Scored 7 touchdowns.
Double digit fantasy points 3 of his last 4 games last year.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think they'll upgrade the offensive line, but just don't know. But why Andre Williams ahead of Rashad Jennings? Because Jennings was definitely better when he was.
Because I don't know if Jennings can stay healthy, and I think that Andre Williams could earn a bigger role this summer than Jennings, than what he had last year.
All right, then this whole group after rounds 5 and 6, cherry pick a few names that you like.
Crowell had 11 or more carries 9 times. In 6 of those games, he had either 90 total yards or a touchdown.
He also averaged 5.4 yards per carry with Alex Mack healthy.
Yeah, he can be really good. I surprised to hear Mike Pettine say that they're going to maybe add another running back, which to me is silly. Or Ray Farmer, one of the two of them.
Ray Farmer texted it to Mike
Pettine.
That's good.
I'm excited about Devontae Freeman.
Yeah?
If he's the guy there.
If he's the guy, of course, because I don't think Steven Jackson's going to be back. Kyle Shanahan's track record with running backs is pretty good. And Devontae Freeman.
They mentioned Forsett as a possible.
Yeah, but the Ravens don't want to let him go. Let me say this,
money,
too.
Money will be a factor there.
If whoever that running back is in Baltimore working with Trestman, I would sink my teeth into. Even if it's Forsett.
Yeah.
Just the track record of Trestman going back to Chicago, the Canadian Football League.
Great skill set for what Trestman
exactly.
wants to do.
So he can catch passes.
That's the encouraging thing for Forsett. Taliaferro does not.
No.
So that's the one thing.
He might be able to.
He's got, I think it's 27 catches in 3 years, 2 in college and 1 in the pros.
Okay.
I know the shine is off Ryan Matthews a little bit, but I...
Depends where he goes.
I see some... I mean, if I get him in round 7, I think that's pretty...
Yeah, it depends
valuable.
Where he is.
Yeah. Because at that point, he's going to be your third running back or even late, or even like further down your fantasy depth chart. So, of course, you're going to like Ryan Matthews then. But he's going to... He's going to be in a situation where he splits. It's not going to be – the expectations for him aren't going to be like anything we had for him this year, last year,
whoever
year before.
Ends up, if it's not a rookie in Indianapolis, is going to be really interesting.
See, that's where I think Adrian Peterson should go, is Indianapolis.
I hope
not. I don't
know
if they take that headache after what Ursae put them through.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Adrian Peterson's going to bring a big headache with him. I really don't. I think people in the locker room will embrace him no matter where he goes. I think the coaches will embrace him. I think he's motivated to play well.
It's a sure thing Frank Gore is in Indianapolis. The relationship with Pagano.
And I would like that. I would be willing to overlook Frank Gore's age.
Yeah, you get 8 good games out of him. You get Ahmad Bradshaw. I mean, not the receiving stuff, but you just get the production.
That seems to be the economical way for Indy to go there, too, is to get Frank Gore, re-sign Ahmad Bradshaw,
I wouldn't keep Bradshaw.
Heron,
you go with Heron.
And then you lead with Gore.
You go with Goran Heron. I mean, Heron, look, he played well. It's hard to say.
He fumbled a lot.
Okay. So is CJ Anderson. Yeah. So is DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, but DeMarco made up for it with amazing numbers.
I don't know if I said eye-popping this numbers. On the air, but I think the DeMarco Murray fumble, like if he didn't fumble against the Packers, they might win the Super Bowl. That play was bigger than the Dez overturn, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Sure.
They couldn't stop Dallas at all right. until that fumble. That was huge. Game changer. Ready for emails?
Always.
Yeah, all right. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Keith on Vancouver Island says, "Dear Gordon, Stewart, and Andy," he says those are the police. Okay. "If you had to keep one of these three straight up, no limitations, who would it be? Gronk, Dez, or Odell Beckham?"
Gronk.
I think it's Gronk.
Gronk. We should just have a sound effect of Jamie saying Gronk.
Gronk.
That's the answer to every question. Billy G., "Gentlemen, for full roster keeping Dynasty League, would you drop Latavius Murray for any of the new prospects in next year's running back draft? I'm already sitting on Peterson, Foster, and the already proven Murray."
That Murray.
Boy, is he proven.
He's proven.
Yeah, I'll take Gordon and Gurley ahead of Latavius Murray.
Depends where they go. I mean,
Gurley's
got to prove that he's healthy.
They could go to the Lancaster, Pennsylvania Happy Feet. And they'll be better than Latavius
Murray. Would you take Latavius Murray or Monte Ball?
Murray. Oh, so you're saying Melvin Gordon is Monte Ball?
Could be.
Yes, he could be. Or he could be 10 Ron Danes. Okay, fine.
Pete F. from Tinton Falls, New Jersey.
You ever been there?
No.
It's beautiful.
You've never been to
that Tinton Falls. It's a nice place.
What did you call it?
That Tinton Falls.
Yeah, you gotta really enunciate that.
Yeah, the ends need to be enunciated there.
You know, you waited way too long to start talking like that. Pete says, "Dear Phil, Jay, and Cameron," not original. I know Dave knows. Does Jamie know? Phil, Jay.
I don't think
Cameron.
Jamie knows because I don't know if he watches this show.
No. Modern Family. Hmm.
Characters of Modern Family.
"If Marshawn Lynch does decide to retire, which running back should everyone have on their radar? Robert Turbin or Kristen Michael?" Sorry, rewind.
You know, that minutes. Marshawn Lynch, he ought to stick around.
I don't talk like that. So you want to explain what you're doing?
Every time I ask Adam a question, he would say,
"You know that something."
You know that.
Okay. Well,
that's like
let's
your prefix.
Use a real example from yesterday.
What did I ask you?
I don't know if you. I think I said it to someone else, but
I think we asked you about somebody in the office, and you're like, "You know that James Darren Darst."
Someone brought the new pizza from Little Caesars.
Oh right.
With bacon wrapped crust and pepperoni.
Well, Dave, and Mike Friedman, our producers, said that they were going to try it. And so
did Mike
I'm a pizza aficionado. No, he didn't. No.
What?
He didn't even try. He bought it though.
So
which
Mike's,
automatically makes him a
yeah,
good guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mike's original idea. Mike and I bought it together. Mike's original idea was to send four pizzas to Dave throughout the day, but Little Caesars doesn't deliver. Which we didn't. we didn't find this out until calling.
How do you not know that Little Caesars doesn't deliver?
I don't order pizza from Little Caesars because my intestines like me.
Because you like your intestines.
So. The original idea was to have four pizzas delivered throughout the day. Anyway, we went to lunch. We stopped off. We got Little Caesars for Dave. You had how many?
I had one square.
You had one. You had
before
half,
I had
half
a coronary.
Half of one before you were dripping with grease.
It was so gross.
That's why. That's actually why you
cut yourself shaving. The first bite was amazing.
I liked the
first
pretzel
bite was
one.
Great.
I liked the pretzel.
I didn't like
crust
the pretzel
one. This one was too heavy and too greasy.
But before we go on, then you have to edit this. They're not sponsored by us, are they?
No.
Okay. Good. All right. So yeah, you were dripping with grease. Who else had?
Eight people had. There were eight slices.
Seven, and then you had a random, right?
Yeah, I don't even know the person's name who took the last slice.
Right.
So I said to
somebody. So everybody had it, and everybody takes a bite, and they go, "Oh, this is good. Yeah, this is good." And by, like, the fourth bite, people are like, "Why am I still eating
Yeah,
this?
It was really gross. I said to someone, the box was sitting out in, like, our cafeteria, and I said, "That pizza, bleeping disgusting." So
I labeled it death pizza.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because like there was this huge layer of grease on the bottom of the box, and when Al Melchior, our baseball guy, lifted up a slice, there was a fresh puddle of grease on top of the grease covered box.
I've never had grease.
So listen, if you've got a death wish, this pizza's for you.
That's their slogan. Yeah, well, anyway, I guess...
And they don't deliver.
Sometimes I talk the way Jamie is talking right now, but I usually only do it when I'm typing, like via instant message. Craig O. from Folsom, California. Dear Pat, Tom, and John. And he says 1979 is a hint for Pat, Tom, and John.
Pitchers. On a team.
Mets?
Yeah, like I think of Tom and Tom Seaver. But did Tom Seaver pitch in 79?
Absolutely.
But no, I don't know. He was on the 69 Mets, I think. They didn't
He pitched into the 80s.
Yeah, but why would 1979 be a reference? Oh, well, he says our 12-team PPR. I thought it was maybe Pat Summerall, John Madden, and someone else.
Maybe.
But our 12-team PPR redraft league is going to venture into the world of free agent auctions for the first time since our league started in 1979. I have gathered various fab rules and strategies from different sources, but still have one question. Does the size of the team budget matter? Like $100, $200, $1,000? It appears to me it would not, as it is all relative to the percentage of your budget you would use on a player. Is that correct?
Yes.
You might be onto something with the Pat, Tom, and John as broadcasters.
Who's John?
Tom Brookshire, John Madden, Pat Summerall. Tom Brookshire.
Tom. I don't know him. Dan from Palm Bay, Florida, is in a 14-team PPR Dynasty League. We can keep 12 players with no penalty. I was offered C.J. Anderson and the first overall pick in the draft for... Jamie?
Gronk.
And a second-round pick.
That Gronk.
So, so good.
He can really open beers with his teeth.
I was offered C.J. Anderson and the first overall pick in a 14-team PPR Dynasty League. For Rob Gronkowski and a second rounder. I currently have the 5th overall pick, plus Jamal Charles, Alfred Morris, Jonas Gray, and Devontae Freeman. Would you do this?
No.
You'd keep Gronk in the second rounder?
Yes.
I'd ask for more.
Yeah. There you go.
Because what do you need C.J. Anderson for if you've got Charles, Alf, Gray, Freeman, and... the 5th pick in your dynasty league, you're going to get one of those running backs.
I like, and it's a PPR league.
Yeah, you only have one.
Well, but Freeman could make a leap.
He could, and Morris could.
Like, so between Morris, Freeman, and maybe, Jonas Gray, somebody, I think has a chance.
You get the first overall pick here in a dynasty league, in a 14-team dynasty league.
He also has the 5th overall pick.
You get first and 5. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but you lose Gronk.
Yeah.
So right now you'd be taking, let's say, probably Cooper and potentially Gordon.
Gordon, I don't think he'll make it to 5. I think if you want Gordon, you'd have to take him at 1 and then maybe somebody like
White
or Green Beckham. I don't know if Kevin White makes it to 5 either, especially in a PPR, 14 teams. Someone's going to nab that guy up.
Well, that's
I think it's too big of a risk.
If you want to have more emails answered, I do a weekly mailbag. All you have to do is tweet me with the hashtag fantasymail.
So it's not really a mailbag. It's a tweet bag.
Well, I answer the questions, so it's mailbag.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how I get the questions, does it?
Well, it works.
Well, someone could email you their questions, or do you not check your email?
Nah, anymore? I just want to do it through Twitter.
What about Facebook? MySpace?
Dave Richards Chair.
Friendster?
On Facebook.
Friendster?
No. MySpace?
What else is there? I already said MySpace.
Instagram?
JDate?
FarmersOnly.com?
Still on JDate?
No, I'm not.
Did you delete your profile from JDate?
How do you know I was on J-Date?
I'm just making the assumption.
I wasn't on J-Date.
Oh, yes, you were. All right, yes, everybody go on J-Date.com.
Of J-Date.
Find that Animazer profile.
Yeah, you would never find it. My username was DRichard1979. All right, we're out of here. See you later, everybody.
Bye.